The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 13th of May, 2021. On the podcast today, Jason Tebb, CEO of On The Market, explains how their commercial partnership with Sprift Technologies will help provide enhanced data and market intelligence for estate agents. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about hot commodity prices and Eurasia Mining, Goldstone Resources and Atalaya Mining. Plus, as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you see lots of other content. In fact, there's an article there from Zach Meir, who's on the podcast tomorrow, hopefully, explaining why he's joined Vox Markets, saying what he's going to do, what he's up to. Good chart, Zach, worth looking at. You've been doing it for years, before charts existed. Zach was charting. he'd love that. Also, there's an article on Helium One. There's an article there on Goldstone Resources, Jumps, as it commences mining in Ghana. There's one on Bahamas Petroleum. And also, don't forget, our COVID-19 index. Not many rises today. It's a big sell-off day today. You know, a lot of down day, red everywhere. But, you know, have conviction in your confidence in your stock picks. It'll pay off in the end, if they're good, of course. Biggest fall of the day is E Therapeutics, down 8.77%. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jason Tebb, Chief Executive Officer of On The Market, OTMP. Stick it there. Jason, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure. Nice to speak, Justin.
Yeah, and it's always good to get you on, not only when you have news, but give us an update on the housing market, because you know, us Brits are obsessed with houses and property. We love it, but I've seen more headlines of late, and so we'll talk about that in a bit, just the bigger picture. But you've announced a commercial partnership with Sprift Technologies Limited. We'll get into that. But if someone's listening, not familiar with On The Market, Jason, explain it to them if you could.
Of course. So onthemarket.com is a property marketplace that's sometimes referred to as a property portal. And that's where estate agents, letting agents and house builders advertise their available properties across the country. And we then introduce them to consumers who visit the site, search for those properties of interest, and then engage directly with those advertisers.
Yeah. And of course, you're, like I say, you're majority owned by estate agents. So, and I suppose the benefit of that, and also I get the alerts, often your alerts come up faster before other portals, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. So we have our new and exclusive proposition where our properties are listed. Agents make a choice to list those properties 24 hours or more before Rightmove or Zoopla. And that gives those serious property seekers an advantage because they're able to find those newest properties to the market ahead of where they would find them on other portals.
Yeah, that's so important in today's market. Even a minute head start would help people. So let's talk about this and the commercial partnership with Sprift. First of all, what is Sprift, Jason?
So I'm delighted to announce this partnership with Sprift. And you'll remember, and that those of you who've listened to my previous interactions with you will remember that the future of our business is about developing more product service offerings for our agents and for our consumers. We have four pillars of our strategy, which is the portal, OTM.com, which is software, data and market intelligence, and then these communications and marketing tools. And our relationship and our new commercial partnership with Sprift allows us to start fulfilling that data and market intelligence piece. And what Sprift is, in a nutshell, it's a data and market intelligence tool for estate agents to be able to get much more information about a property so that they can therefore, when they're on valuations, they can gain an advantage in winning instructions, and they can show to potential sellers that they have an expert knowledge of that particular property. And as you'll know, over the last 3 to 4 years, there's been so much talk about data and the use of data in this industry. And that's why I'm so delighted to get this partnership agreed, because Sprift will really help those agents who are customers of ours to have much more information about the properties that they're valuing, things that they wouldn't necessarily be able to find elsewhere. And that enables them to really show themselves as experts in their marketplace. And that's why I think it's crucial for us to be able to help them with that product and service provision.
Yeah, and you said here that Sprift have over 28 million UK residential properties stored on their platform, and they do 1.3 million reports for properties for clients. And they use data from everything, from Audit and Survey, Royal Mail, Google, Land Registry, and Ofsted, and then you've got the data sets, the priority data. So, and an agent, for example, let's say with you on the market, is this an option for them to take up, or is it automatically? Do they pay extra for this? How does it work?
So the market appraisal guide, which is something that the first part of this relationship that we've built in, is free to all on the market customers. And therefore, they will have access to the market appraisal guides from launch. And as you rightly say, that gives access to many, many more data points than simply what properties are around on the market currently or what has sold in the past. Things like land registry title plan, planning application history, the local authority, is the property listed? Is it in a conservation area? Is it a risk of flooding? And what type of property it is? And that all those things combine to mean that when an agent goes to the property, they have much more detailed information and therefore can give a more accurate valuation. They can show their potential client that they are experts in the area and they've actually accessed all of these data points. So that's the advantage to our agent customers. And we are providing that from today, free for all on the market agent customers. The actual product will be rolled out within the next 6 weeks. And that once that's launched, therefore, we will have a position where all of our agents will have much more data and intelligence when they go out on those valuations.
Yeah. And I know, like I said, you know, you've done a lot of social media and meetings as well, virtually with agents, and you say we are listening. Is this one of the things that agents have mentioned, more data and more intelligence on the market?
Yeah, it's been a huge theme of my town hall meetings. You know, it comes up every single time that agents are crying out for more opportunities to get more information and data to really power their strategies in stock acquisition and in winning more instructions. It comes up pretty much every time. And this really is a differentiator because all of the portals have in the past tended to have the same small elements of information, such as some sold prices and some properties that are on the market in other areas. And this really takes it to the next level. So that's why it will really benefit our agents.
Yeah. And it seems to be paying off. I'm looking at your social media and there are so many agents joining on the market, phenomenal amount. Is that a direct result of, you know, you having meetings or what's happening there?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, there's certainly a renewed energy in the business. And since we've signposted where the future of the business is going to be, I've certainly had some really good conversations with agents who are already with us, but also with many agents who aren't already with us and therefore are joining up. It's not necessarily one factor, but it's a combination of many factors. You know, we have a clear direction about where we want our business to be. We are clear about our differentiation strategy. We are clear that we need to step out of the shadows of the other portals and really go and forge our own path and do something different. I think the agency community have warmed to that, and that's certainly exemplified in the figures, as you rightly say. More and more agents are joining us every month, so I think it's great for us. And also our new house builders. You know, we this was one of the largest areas of our growth last year, and we've certainly continued that. And we are getting more house builders join us as well, because they see the value in the on the market proposition, and they have access to those buyers who are serious about transacting. So I think it's a combination of factors.
Yeah, let's talk about generally the property market, because it's never at the headlines at the moment. Even this morning, I did my early morning podcast, and there's a story there about the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors saying the number of homes being put on the market is failing to meet demand from buyers, resulting in rising property prices, and the frequency of for sale signs in April slowed. Now, it is a frothy market, and people are talking about it. Does that make your traffic go up? How does that affect you now that people are finding it hard to find properties and prices rising?
Well, it's certainly from a market perspective, the busiest market I've ever seen, and also statistically the busiest market, 191,000 completions, which happened in March, which is the last bit of data that we have. And I think that, you know, that shows that there is a huge pent-up demand for property, and that combines with the low cost of borrowing, and obviously the stamp duty holiday extension has exacerbated all of that. How that affects us is obviously good, because, you know, because as I've mentioned, we have our new and exclusive proposition, and we list some properties 24 hours or more before right removal Zoopla. That gives those people who are serious about transacting an advantage in a time when you've just said that there is less stock available, and with less stock available, when more properties come to the market and they come sooner, that gives an advantage for our users. So I think that's how it's impacted us. Where it will go over the next few months, it's always difficult to say, but, you know, we know that those economic fundamentals of low cost of borrowing, high demand, stamp duty extension really do, you know, power the market. And if there are fewer properties coming to the market, then that will naturally have a positive uplift on prices.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, so just remind us, the stamp duty holiday, when is that going to end or taper off? What's happening with that?
So it effectively, that there was an extension, and at the end of June, that extension ends. And we are in a position now when people who have already made a commitment to transact, they are pushing heavily for those exchanges to take place before the end of that period. But that hasn't necessarily stopped new transactions, and new sales are still happening. And that means that whilst I think there will be a natural drop off in the exchange and completion numbers, which always happens after every period of ending when there's either a stamp duty holiday or some other implication, there will be a natural drop off, but it certainly hasn't really quashed demand, and the demand is still there. And that's the thing that I see time and time again, new applicants registering, lead numbers coming to agents, and that's the fundamentals for us, and I see that continuing.
Yeah, yeah. And just on the business, since you've become CEO, is it heading in the right direction? Are you impressed with what's happening?
I believe it is. I think I said from the very start when I came on board that I want to forge our own lane and forge a new path for the brand and the business. We're doing so many things, and all those things are now starting to come to fruition. Today's commercial partnership announcement with Sprift is just one of those things. We're looking at a brand refresh. We're looking at our marketing. We're looking at qualitative approach to lead generation. Our agents who we speak to and I'm speaking to on the town halls seem to be very positive about that, those changes that are being made. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, we're onboarding new agents. So the future is looking good, and I'm very positive about our business and how we can differentiate going forward, particularly in the next 6 to 12 months, when many of the things that we're putting in place now will start to come online.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, as always then, Jason, encourage people to hit that follow button if they like the sound of the progress you're making here but are not yet following the story. Three reasons why they should add On the Market to their watch list, please.
They should certainly add On the Market to their watch list for these three reasons. The first is that we've already shown strong growth in both the key metrics and in our financial position, and we're seeing growing consumer awareness and visitor numbers, but we're in a stronger cash position year on year and have increasing revenues, which means we can now invest in people, products and commercial partnerships, but all within a framework of prudent cost management. The second is we have an exciting new phase of our growth. I think that's been exemplified by the details I've given today. We've got an ambitious roadmap, which we'll see On the Market become much more than just a property portal, with a whole new suite of products and services which are revenue generating and will combine to grow income from existing customer bases, as well as help onboard new agents to the platform. And we'll do that all within the remit of being committed to sustainably fair pricing for agents and house builders. And the third point, as I indicated before, we have a differentiated proposition from other businesses in this vertical. We focus on new and exclusive properties, and the agents that support us with that either list their properties 24 hours or more before Rightmove or Zoopla, or indeed they list properties that aren't available on any other property search sites. And we're now developing further areas of differentiation to give serious property seekers an advantage in their search.
Marvellous stuff, Jason. Good to chat to you as always, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
And to you, Justin. Many thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good. Thank you.
And I've noticed two parts of the market today. Some stocks are having fall out of bed, and I think some commodities are sort of rallying. Resource stocks are doing quite well, aren't they, today, I think? And... Lots of stuff going on. Bitcoin's tumbling because of Tesla and Elon Musk. Elon Musk one day will pump it and say, "Shall I accept Dogecoin, which is a joke cryptocurrency, for payment of Tesla?" And now he's saying, "Right, we're not accepting Bitcoin anymore because of climate change." And all these Bitcoiners are saying, "No, it's not bad for the climate, actually. It's not, because banking is. There's a lot more banking and mining. That's a lot worse." I thought, yes, but we use the banking, you know, everyone needs the banking infrastructure. They don't really need Bitcoin. So you can't compare the carbon footprint of Bitcoin to the banks. It doesn't make sense. If you took the banks down, you couldn't exist. You couldn't exist on Bitcoin. But what's commodity prices like, John? You said before you came on, you said iron ore prices, they've come off a little bit, but they're still high, yeah?
Oh, well, I read a headline saying that iron ore had come off a bit, and then I looked at the iron ore price at $227 a ton, and I thought, that doesn't look like it's come off. That still seems unbelievably strong. I mean, what goes up must come down in some cases. And yes, iron ore prices will come off. It's just a question of when. I mean, the big miners are making over $200 a ton margin on iron ore. Now, that's if they're able to get the same price as the futures or something close to that. So it's extraordinary. I mean, you're effectively charging the Chinese economy for its growth. And one ton of steel uses about 1.6 tons of iron ore. So this price increase in iron ore really feeds through into inflation. And we see US CPI inflation rose to 4.2% year on year. And that's well above what everybody was expecting. So the market's a little bit wary of this, and the technology stocks have sold off as a result. And the old economy stocks in the Dow Jones tend to do a bit better when that happens. And commodities tend to go better because commodities are seen as a store of asset value to some degree.
Yeah, but it's worry about inflation, isn't it? It's different parts of the market are selling off, of course, but there's argument that it's transitionary. You know, it's only temporary because, of course, you've got that cyber attack that affected the that pipe in America that's transporting fuel and oil and gas and all that. So that went up the price of that. But but we need a bit of inflation, don't we? 2%, but it's over that at the moment.
Well, I think the central bankers are going to tolerate. Yeah. Quite a lot of inflation before they raise interest rates. There will be more calls to raise interest rates, but I think they will resist that because if you think of the amount of debt that's being pumped into the economies to reflate and to combat the effects of the coronavirus, and one of the ways of dealing with that debt is to inflate it away. Nobody wants, it seems to be unpopular and unpalatable to just print dollars and print pounds. But so a bit of inflation effectively does the same thing, but it's more acceptable. It spreads the pain more broadly. We haven't seen inflation for many years. And frankly, I'm very happy if my mortgage is inflated away.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, let's, what about copper? What's happening with copper? Anything happening there?
Lots of little bits of positive news on copper. There's yet another strike threatened in Chile, this time by BHP's workers at their Northern Integrated Operations. That's over wages, as usual. Then also there are reports of sulfuric acid shortages, again in Chile, but I think elsewhere in the world. This is a result of lower oil refining last year, and so there's been less sulfur to make sulfuric acid. And Chile imports about 3 million tons of sulfur, or imports material for around 3 million tons of sulfuric acid each year. And so that's causing a problem. Codelco, which is the state copper mining company in Chile, blamed part of a 40% fall in copper production in the first quarter on those sulfuric acid shortages. So it's a very real thing. And there was one other piece of news. We saw that there's a group of smelters in China. It's a 15-company strong group who've said they're going to cut buying copper concentrates by nearly 9% in order to try and raise treatment and refining charges, which are the charges that they get for doing the smelting and refining. And those charges have been very low. because they've all been competing with each other to buy in copper concentrates from Chile and Peru and places like that. And what this means is there's going to be less copper metal produced at the end of the year. So that, combined with a bit of some maintenance programs at three of the other big copper smelters in China, it's going to create a bit of disruption. So the market, I think, is going to be maybe even tighter than many people had expected.
Yeah, okay, cool. Marvellous stuff. Right, let's get on to stocks then, John. First of all, there's been the Eurasia Mining, the FSP there, has been dropped. What's happening there? An offer there? Something? In fact, explain the backstory a little bit, if you could, if people are not familiar, because it's quite a popular stock as well. So, you know, go for it.
Yes, it's an unusually interesting situation with Eurasia. They've been going through a formal sale process, which is a technical term in accordance with takeover panel rules. They are also expanding their operations at West Kiltin, which is the alluvial mining operations of platinum, palladium, rhodium, or should we say the platinum group metal elements. Very palladium rich, in fact, in these properties. So they're going to have three sites up and running this year, which is good operationally. But when it comes to the formal sale process, they tell us that they've had a number of potential bidders, and they've been doing due diligence programs with those. They've had an offer for the company, but the best offer they seem to have had is an offer for a number of the assets. So we've had confidence in these assets, but the one of the issues has been that those assets are defined under Russian codes, and we prefer to work, you know, when we're valuing things, we prefer to value those assets after a certain amount of extra work has been done, when those assets have JORC or NI 43101 standard resources on them. But it doesn't mean they're not good assets. So they're clearly considering whether they accept this offer or not. And there's clearly been a lot going on in you know, behind the scenes in the background. So very interesting statement from the company today. Worth reading that quite carefully. Certainly gives us more confidence.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know what the offer is, do you? As yet, of course. It's they won't reveal that yet, will they, or not? What's happening?
That's not revealed, and I suspect there's a bit more work that needs to be done before that offer is crystallised. But they talk about a proposal from a credible party that would allow us to pay a significant dividend to all shareholders. So that'd be a good day for the investors.
Okay, so what's happened there? It hasn't gone up a lot today, though. So why is that? Do people not understand it? So it went up the start and it's come back down. So what's going on? It sort of jumped in the open and then it's come back down. So what's happening? Is people not confident in this offer, or what's going on here?
It's difficult to know what's going on behind the market. Sometimes there can be a logjam of orders. You know, if people aren't willing to sell, then the market might not move very much. Equally, the buyers may just hold off a bit. It's impossible to know right now.
So basically, it's a wait and see, but it looks okay at the moment, does it? Or what, is that what you're saying?
Well, the statement today adds a degree of confidence from the way I read it.
Okay, cool. Marvellous. Because what's the size of it? It's one of the best performing stocks the last 2 years. It's been in the top 10 best performing stocks, and now it's at like 630 million. So it's a chunky old market cap now, though, isn't it?
I'm just going to double check. The market cap, £752 million on my screen.
Wow. Okay. Next, a bit of news from Goldstone Resources, GRL. What's happening there, John?
Goldstone, well, again, very positive statement. Yeah, significant production guidance upgrade at the Hamasi mine in Ghana. So they've been very busy working on this. In fact, we've been talking to Emma Priestley and Bill True on a fairly regular basis. They've both been out there working away through the COVID crisis. And really getting on with the job, which is great to see. So they reckon they're going to do 25,000 ounces of gold in the first 8 months of production, and they should be going into production any minute now, from what I can see. And they're going to do that at a pre-tax cash cost of under $600 an ounce. So if we consider where the gold price is today, that's a pretty interesting margin.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. I remember these, they've moved. I couldn't believe it because I kept my eye off the ball there. But when I last looked at them a while back, they were like sub 5 million, I think they were at one stage when I looked last at them. But they've obviously been doing something right. Okay, and next one, Atalaya Mining. I don't know much about this company. What's happening here, John?
Atalaya, strong, again, well, robust operating performance. 40% rise in copper prices, clearly, that we've seen year on year. And the copper production maintained at just shy of 14,000 tonnes of metal in the first quarter. Cash cost of $2 a pound. It's a good business. They're running the old Rio Tinto mine in Spain. And, if you want to buy a smallish copper miner, well, it's valued at just under £500 million, so it's not necessarily a cheap stock anymore, but it gives you an idea of what these companies are worth. It's a good quality, consistent performer. They've got a very, very good Spanish mine manager, mining engineer. He's Alberto Lavandera. He's an excellent operator, very well respected in Spain. Neil Gregson's on the board. He's from JP Morgan. He was a fund manager there, just recently retired. And they have Jesus Fernandez in there, so as a non-executive director from Trafigura, keeping an eye on things. So that looks good.
Jesus Fernandez, and now that's Spanish, isn't it? That's Jesus. If we spell it, it's Jesus. So I always remember once, when I was a kid, I didn't realise when I was a kid that, Jesus was quite a popular name in Spain. And we checked into for holidays in the 80s, it was, and we went to the reception, and there was a guy in the reception there, and he had a name tag on of Jesus. I thought, wow, they've Jesus on reception in this hotel. It's got to be quite a good hotel. And my mother told me that's quite a common name in Spain. It's pronounced Jesus. So I thought, oh, okay. Well, it's a good omen, surely, he's on the board there, you think?
Yeah, and the company does very well as a result, I suspect.
Exactly. Marvellous stuff, John. Thanks. Anything else worth chatting about?
I think that's the main news. Caledonia Mining doing well today. Good first quarter again. 13,000 ounces of gold. Well done, Caledonia. These guys push through everything. It doesn't matter what challenges you throw at Caledonia, they seem to push through.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Cool, John. Thanks for that. I'm going to speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Shield Therapeutics, down 3.7% to 51. At four, Galantis Holdings, down 3% to 97. At three, Quantum Blockchain Technologies, down 10% to 1.75. At two, Argo Blockchain, down 12% to 127.5. And at one, Eurasia Mining, up 12%, 28 pence. And of course, we've covered that with John on the podcast. Okay, it's time for the top five most read RNSs. At five, Eurasia Mining, potential asset sale, FSP and other updates. At four, Amiga Holdings, Holdings and Company. War Room. At three, Escape Hunt, notice of results. Of course, that's next week, and they're opening on Monday. And lots going on there. And there's an investor meet to talk about. At two, Helium 1, award of drilling, EIA certificate. At two, Argo Blockchain, purchase of two data centres. And of course, Bitcoin having a better sell-off from cryptocurrencies when Elon Musk said now they would not accept Bitcoin for purchasing Tesla. You can't buy it with the Bitcoin cryptocurrency. So, yeah, sell-off, he changed his mind. He flip-flops like crazy. Someone take Twitter off him, which is bad as Donald Trump. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.